Well, it is wonderful to see you here. I honestly didn't know if anybody would be here at 10 because, as Mike Heron said, there were over 400 people at 8:30. What a blessing to, I think that we're learning something, aren't we, about being together and being able to sing and be face to face. And the Lord has been so good to us to give us overcast skies again at 10 o'clock. If you are a hunter, though, next week bring a thermocell. And if you don't know what that is, somebody bring one for me, too. But right here would be great. I do think the gnats may be out. But if you need to move or slap a bug on your kid or something, you can do that as well. Whatever you need to do to be comfortable, I want you to be. Ephesians chapter 1, we end today this song, this triune song that Paul breaks out in, describing the blessings that are ours in Christ Jesus. Paul, writing to the church of Ephesus, to people who are in a pagan society, a multicultural society, a materialistic society, an idolatrous society, an immoral society. And he's talking to the church and saying, church, here's how you're supposed to be the church in the midst of that type of culture. And so Paul begins by identifying for us what Christ has done for us and who we are in Christ. And he wants the church to know that's where it begins. You have to understand your unique identity as being in Christ. And so he breaks out into this song. And as I mentioned to you, I think it's 105 words in the Greek. There's no punctuation. It's one long sentence. He can hardly take a breath, exclaiming how blessed they are, how blessed we are to be the church of the Lord Jesus, to be in Christ. We have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. So what I want to do then is read the whole blessing, verses 3 through 14. I'm only going to preach on 11 through 14 this morning primarily. But I want you to hear again the big picture of Paul describing all that is ours in Christ Jesus, the blessings that are ours. And the blessing that we look at today as we continue to understand these blessings is our inheritance. Two times in 11 through 14, Paul describes that we have an eternal inheritance set, laid up for us because we are in Christ. So, verse 3, let's read together God's word. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. Brothers and sisters, this is the gospel of Christ. Praise be to you, O Christ. Let's pray together. Lord, would you open our minds and our hearts to receive your truth? Holy Spirit, be here in power that we would receive what you have for us and be transformed by the gospel given to us again today. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul wants the church to know who they are in Christ and the unique identity that is theirs and the difference that that should make in their lives. You know, scientists say that ducks go through the process of imprinting, or they imprint soon after their birth. This is true. A duck, as soon as it's born, generally sees its mother and goes, "That's who I am," and so follows the mother around and does what the mother would do. That's how the duck knows its identity. By being birthed, first thing it sees, it's its mother, and the duck goes, "I'm a duck. I do what ducks do." Well, sometimes that backfires. There was a duck who, this is a true story, a duck who woke up and or was birthed, and the first thing the duck saw was a collie, a big collie dog. And this duck thought, "That's who I am." And so when the collie dog would chase the mailman, the duck followed the dog everywhere, the collie everywhere, and would chase the mailman. When a car would pull into the driveway, the collie would bark at the car, and the duck would start to quack at the car too and run up and try to peck the tires of the car. In the heat of the day, when the collie is underneath the porch, laying around, next to it is a duck who's meant to be swimming in beautiful blue waters and flying, or whatever it is that ducks do, right? He's meant to be a duck, but he got an identity crisis. He acted like a dog when he was a duck. He was imprinted with the wrong perception of who he was. Paul's saying to the church at Ephesus, you need to know who you are. You're in Christ. And we too can get an identity crisis where we can stop living as children of God, fashioned after the image of Christ, and run around barking at mailmen, right? We can run around and do things that we were not intended to do. We don't know our identity. And our identity, Paul says, is that you are in Christ. I forget the math. I've told you this before. I think it's almost 300 times this idea of in Christ or in Him appears in the New Testament. Maybe 30 times in Ephesians we hear in Christ or in Him. Paul wants the church to know their identity as in Christ and to live out that distinct identity in the midst of a pagan world. And so he describes for them this chapter 1, verses 3 through 11, all the blessings that are theirs in Christ Jesus. And then he says, your identity in verses 11 through 14 is that you are trust fund kids. Now, trust fund kids can have a bad reputation, right? You hear that term, it can be a derogatory term because it implies that they're spoiled, that they know they've got all daddy's money and they don't need anything. They can live the way they want to live. But all of us know people or have heard of people who were born into wealthy families that had trust funds and knew that all they were ever going to need would be provided for them. And Paul's saying to the church, you're trust fund kids. You have been adopted as children of God. And as Romans 8 says, you are co-heirs with Christ. So everything that Christ has, given to him by the Father, sharing in the glory of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all that is Christ is ours. We are co-heirs with Christ, and we have an inheritance that can never spoil, fade, or perish, kept in heaven for us. That's what verses 11 through 14 describe for us. We are adopted trust fund kids of God, and we've got an inheritance that is waiting for us. I want to look at three things in our time together this morning about this trust fund. One, I want you to see who the benefactor is. Secondly, I want you to see who the beneficiaries are. And thirdly, what the benefits are in having this trust fund, this inheritance set up for us in Christ. The benefactor. It's God the Father. We saw this in verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And one of those blessings from the Father is this inheritance mentioned twice in our text here. Paul wants the church to see that God the Father is the benefactor who has given you this inheritance. Now, two things about this benefactor. One is I want you to see that this benefactor has a master plan, and he is working all things according to the counsel of his own will. In verse 10, last week we saw that there is this cosmic plan of redemption that God the Father is bringing about in Christ. That when God the Father sent Christ to earth, Jesus did not just come to save our souls. Jesus came to redeem all things, to reconcile all things, and all things spiritual and material are one day going to be united under Jesus as the head, and Christ will be exalted as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's what verse 10 tells us about, that Jesus is, all things are being united under Jesus, and there's this cosmic plan of redemption happening where Jesus will finally receive the glory that is due his name. And this is the Father's plan to reconcile all things and all peoples and all races and all of material and immaterial, all spiritual and material, all physical, all eternal, all things under Christ as the head. God is sovereignly working every detail of our lives to that end. And this benefactor, this is the one who has ordained for you to receive an inheritance in Christ. We learn in our catechism, if you remember, what are the decrees of God? The decrees of God are his eternal purpose, according to the counsel of his own will, whereby he for his own glory foreordains all things that come to pass. That God is orchestrating all things for his glory and for our good, and nothing goes through his hands that is not a part of his will for us. Which means in the midst of this meta-narrative of God redeeming all things under Christ and planning this inheritance for us from before the foundations of the earth, God has predestined and elected that we should be heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, and he's working out everything according to that plan. Which means, brothers and sisters, we have a glorious future. Which means, brothers and sisters, that God is not threatened by a presidential election. He's not anxious. He's not doubting. He's not concerned. Kings, queens, princes, presidents, they are pawns in his hand. They fit to work out his master purpose, his grand meta-narrative of bringing all things under Christ. This is your benefactor. He's not threatened by a pandemic. It doesn't affect the fact that you are in Christ and have a glorious future as a child of God, predetermined by a sovereign king who's working all things according to the counsel of his own will. That's our benefactor. My friend Andy Lewis, who's a pastor in Greenville, shared something last week. He said, you know, John, the tomb is empty, but the throne is not. The tomb is empty, brothers and sisters. Jesus did die. He rose again. He is ascended to the Father. The tomb is empty, but the throne is not. And Jesus reigns today. This is your benefactor. Secondly, who are the beneficiaries? Well, we see it according to God's perspective. The beneficiaries are those who are predestined and elected in eternity past to receive this inheritance. Now, immediately, y'all are going, oh, great. You Presbyterians, that's all you like to talk about, predestination and election. The reality is we don't. It's just here, twice. In Ephesians chapter 1, Paul's made it clear. It's a glorious doctrine that brings you security to know that if you have trusted in Jesus, God has planned your salvation from before time existed and before he created anything. He thought about you personally. So Paul says those who are the beneficiaries are those who've been elected and predestined to receive the inheritance that God has for us. That's from God's perspective. What about from our perspective? What do we see here in the text? It says, look with me down here at at these verses. In him you also, verse 13, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. You see what Paul is doing here. From God's perspective, we are beneficiaries of this inheritance, this trust fund, because God ordained it to be. But from a human perspective, you are a beneficiary today if you have heard the word of truth, the gospel, the good news of salvation in Christ alone, and believed that message, then you're a trust fund kid. You get the inheritance. So if you're here today and you say, I don't know about this election and predestination stuff, it doesn't matter. If you want Jesus, you can have him. If you believe the gospel that you hear and receive it, the good news, as Paul says they did, you're a beneficiary. You're a child of God. Which means this very practically, by the way. I was struck this week. Andy Lee gave a missions presentation. And he gave this statistic. He said that, you know, if there's roughly 7.5 billion people on the planet, statistically, if, you know, if as best we can gather, 3.2 billion of those 7.5 billion people, about 42%, would be classified as unreached people groups. So in the world today, 42% of the population is classified as people who are unreached, who have not ever heard the gospel message. And if you can only be a beneficiary, if you can only be a child of God by hearing the message and believing the gospel, what are we doing? I was struck to the heart this week. What am I doing with my time? What am I doing with my money? What am I doing with my prayer life when 42% of the population on the planet is unreached? You don't become a trust fund kid from God's heavenly inheritance unless you've heard the gospel and believe it. What are we doing? All right, I got something very practical I want you to do this week. Every time, I don't have my mask, it's over there. Every time you complain about your masks that you're told to wear, I want you to think about what real suffering is. And every time you go to complain, which if you're like me, about 7 times a day, I will hate this stupid mask. And every time you do it, I want you to pray for unreached peoples this week, for people who are really suffering and would suffer for eternity unless they're reached with the gospel. The beneficiaries are those who hear the truth and believe the truth. But do you see what else is going on here? Paul says, we first heard it, we first believed, then you heard it, and now all of us are, we are trust fund people who get the inheritance. What's happening here? The Jews first heard the gospel, Paul's saying. I was one of those. We first heard the gospel, and then you also heard the gospel and believed, the Gentiles. And so what Paul's doing here is unveiling what we're going to see a lot in Ephesians, but that there is this new cosmic church of people from every race and tribe and tongue, Jew and Gentile, insider and outsider, who have all been saved by the same grace of God. And this church is a multi-ethnic church. Individually and corporately, we are the people of God now, Jew and Gentile, brought under one Christ, who is the head of the church. And all of this is done, Paul says, for the praise of his glorious grace. Do you know, 3 times in our text, verse 6, verse 12, and verse 14, we see this phrase, for the praise of his glory. When we understand what Christ has done for us, that we have been brought into the family of God, no matter your race or your socioeconomic status, no matter your education, we're one family with God. That results in the praise and glory to the sovereign God who is ordaining all things according to the counsel of his own will. It's all for the praise of His glory. Lastly, the benefits. We've seen who the benefactor is. We've seen who the beneficiaries are. What are the benefits? Well, we've seen this, right? Paul starts down in verse 3, blessed are we for all the benefits we have received in Christ. We were chosen. We were adopted. We were forgiven. We were ransomed. We were redeemed. We're eternally secure. We have, what are these things called? Cicadas. What do you call these bugs? Cicadas, yeah. We have those. We're heirs to the throne. We've experienced in part the blessings and benefits of what it means to be in Christ. But here's what the inheritance is. The inheritance is the culmination and the fulfillment of all the promises and all the blessings that we have been given in Jesus. So you've tasted just a little bit what it means to be a son and daughter of God, but you're going to taste it in full one day. You understand in part what it means to be loved by God, but when you get face to face with Jesus and you receive your inheritance, which is Jesus Himself and the glory of the new heavens and the new earth, you're going to understand finally all the fulfillment, the culmination of what God has done for you in Christ. That's your inheritance. It's coming. New bodies, new home in the new heavens and new earth, the fulfillment of all the promises and blessings that God has given to you. You are a trust fund kid, and you get all that simply because God loved you in eternity past, and you believed the gospel in the present. These are our benefits. 1 Corinthians 2 says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no human mind has conceived of the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. Brothers and sisters, the best is yet to come because you have an inheritance in Christ that God has kept secure for you. Well, you might say, what is this inheritance? I mean, how do we know we get to keep this inheritance? How do we know we won't lose this inheritance, which leads us to this last thing here that's part of our inheritance, and that's the person of the Holy Spirit. God the Father purposed and ordained our salvation. God the Son accomplished our salvation. God the Holy Spirit applies that salvation to us, and God gives us the Holy Spirit who testifies with your spirit that you are a child of God, a co-heir with Christ, Romans 8 says. And God's Spirit is given to you as a seal and as a pledge. Now, just briefly, because I know the gnats are killing you, let me just tell you what those two things mean for you. Let's just read that text. Would you look at it with me? Verse 13, in Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, promised and received in its fullness in Acts chapter 2, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of His glory. The Holy Spirit is a seal. It's like a wedding ring that God has given to you, and you look at your ring and you say, I belong to someone else and nothing can come between us. It's a sign that shows that you've been sealed in relationship to God. It's also a seal of authenticity and authority. When a king would put his seal into the wax of an envelope, you would know this came from the king. It cannot be reversed. It comes with all the authority and permanence of the king. This is real. This cannot be changed. This is authentic. And so when God puts His Spirit in you as a seal, it's saying, you get this inheritance. Look at my seal. It's stamped on you. You're not going to lose it. No one can take it away from you. It is permanent. It is authentic. But then we see that it's not the Holy Spirit given to us is not just the seal, but He's also the pledge. He's the down payment. He's the earnest money. If you go to buy a house and you take out a loan, you put down earnest money or a deposit saying the rest is still to come. So when God the Father puts His Spirit in us, it's a seal and a pledge. It's a promissory note that says, here's the first part of the inheritance now with the presence of the Spirit, and the best is yet to come. The fulfillment and culmination of all that it means to be in Christ is yours. What difference does that make? It makes all the difference in the world. Paul's writing this from prison to a people who are suffering. And he's saying to you, no matter what your circumstances are in life, no matter how big the trials, no matter how great the pandemic, you have been sealed with the Holy Spirit and guaranteed an inheritance forever because you are in Christ. And our responsibility is to not live like spoiled brats with our trust fund, but to live generously and without anxiety and free, because we know that we can love and give and pour out our lives and lose and serve because we have everything to gain. We are trust fund kids. We've been given an inheritance in Christ. Let me close with a story of, I think, just how a trust fund kid lives in reality in light of their inheritance. I asked Asher, who's a young lady in our church, if I could share this story. Asher was at Emory this week receiving a bone marrow transplant. And Asher, as she's battled this leukemia or cancer, she has been fervent in prayer for us as a church, and we've been fervent in prayer for her. So I sent her a text on Monday morning, let her know I was praying for her. And Asher, I asked her if I could share this with you. Because Asher's living like a trust fund kid with an inheritance. This is what she said. John, when you pray this morning, meaning when the pastors get together to pray, pray for God's Spirit to move here at Emory. I have a friend who did FCA for a very long time, and he has a friend who's here who was diagnosed with leukemia. This friend has been skeptical of the faith for several years. Pray that I would be able to connect with him and share the hope that is within me. Now, I was blown away by this. Because if I'm at Emory getting a bone marrow transplant, that's the last thing I'm going to think about. So I said to Asher, will do. What a great evidence of the Holy Spirit at work in your heart that you are seizing this opportunity to think about others and to think about eternal realities instead of just focusing on yourself. I love your heart. You are such a blessing and encouragement. To which Asher replies, praise God. John, I've been reflecting on how I am so truly blessed by the Lord. I absolutely want others to know his fellowship in this suffering. It's one thing to have a broken body here and now, but for them not to know that we have an imperishable body to come that can be with God, that's hard. I've been praying for opportunities to share, even though it always brings up fear of man in my heart. But how can I not share of how great our God is? He is our creator and the lover of our souls. That's a trust fund kid who knows that no matter what happens to this earthly body or in this life, we have an inheritance as part of the blessings that are ours because we are in Christ. Brothers and sisters in Christ, live today free of anxiety, free of fear, lavishly generous, bold and reckless for Jesus, proclaiming the glory of our sovereign God. Because as Paul says here, the glory of his grace is the purpose. Your trust fund kids with an inheritance that can never be taken from you. Live in light of that today. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you for the promise of your gospel that tells us who we are in Jesus. Oh, what freedom and joy is ours because we know that in Christ we have an inheritance that can never spoil, perish, or fade, that is kept in heaven for us. Help us to live courageously for Jesus as his trust fund kids. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.